A thorough and honest examination of conscience, if we really are honest, will reveal to us that we tend to commit the same sins over and over again. That's kind of a blessing when you think about it. If we find ourselves having a propensity to the same sins again and again and again, then that should tell us that this is exactly what we need to root out of our lives, as Jesus told us. If there's anything that leads us away from God, then we are literally to cut it off, just as we would cut off a diseased member of the body, anything that's gangrene that could cause further sickness or even death. We sometimes think, well, it's not that bad of a sin, it's a little sin, like a little white lie, just a little this or a little that. Well, there's no such thing as little this or little that. If you look at pictures of the Grand Canyon, you're going to see miles and miles and miles of what a small trickle of water did that would eventually cause the Colorado River. If this can happen in the earth, it happens to our souls as well. Little sins lead us into medium-sized sins to large sins to mortal sins condemn us into hell. So we have to start at the very beginning and cut this off at the source. If you look at the city of Jerusalem, which was built on Mount Zion, this was for the Israelites a place where God himself dwelled in the temple. They went there for a meeting place with God. That was where his presence was on earth. Outside the city of Jerusalem was the Valley of Hinnom. In that valley, before the Israelites conquered, the Canaanites who lived there performed human sacrifices to their false gods. The ground there was drenched in human blood. Some of it so horrible that even the Canaanites would even sacrifice their infant children to the false god Moloch by tossing them into fire. This was a place that could not be used by the Israelites for anything else because, as I said, it was tainted by human blood. You couldn't build a house there, couldn't build a shop there. It was good for nothing but the city garbage dump. That's what they did. They cast their garbage into Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom, where there was the unquenchable fire, where the worm did not die. It became a very good example of hell. So you've got Jerusalem, the city of God, where God dwells, and he calls all his people to come. And you've got Gehenna, where you have the refuse, the garbage, that which is to be thrown away and burned. God does not want us there. He wants us in his presence. He wants us to worship him day and night. He wants us to be a people that is holy unto him. We should be praying, as did the end of Psalm 19, from wanton sin, restrain your servant. Let sin not rule over me. Let me be blameless and innocent of serious sin. Moses made a prophecy at the end of the Old Testament reading. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. Jesus did not turn anyone away who saw the value of his name, anyone who saw the value of his very person. Those who were casting out demons in his name knew that there was something about Christ. So Christ wants all who have any kind of a love for him to come to him and to be part of him. Anyone who is not against us, Jesus said, is with us. We should be praying for that as well. But then he asks us what kind of example we're going to give to others, that we not lead the weak of heart or the weak of faith or the weak of strength astray, but that as a people of God, we call others into redemption. You know, we sometimes think, and this is one of the dangers of some thoughts in Christianity, that a personal relationship with Christ excludes other people. It doesn't. It's not just a relationship we have with Jesus alone. We do not have mere fellowship of just a bunch of people who happen to believe in Christ together. There's actually a communion, a connection between all believers. This happens in baptism, that we're all connected to one another. Our sins affect one another, as well as our good deeds. Our graces also affect one another. It's like taking a stone and throwing it into a pond. You see the ripple effect. It affects the whole body. So everything evil that we do affects the whole body. Everything that's good that we do affects the whole body. Thus, Jesus says, be very careful about the example you give in your thoughts, your words, your actions. Lead no one astray. If we do, then we're good for nothing, just to be thrown into the sea or cast out into Gehenna. But if like Christ we are prophets, if we live by the Spirit that God has bestowed upon us, we can do great things. I've mentioned before, in baptism and in confirmation, we're given the share in the Spirit of God, so much so that just as Jesus himself was anointed by God the Father as priest, prophet, and king, you and I have a share in all three aspects of the life of Christ. We have a share in his priesthood, his prophethood, and his kingship. Not every Christian is ordained as a ministerial priest, as the apostles were, which of course the ordained share, but we do share in the common priesthood, where we can pray for one another. We offer sacrifices for one another. Our prayers, our penances, our sacrifices, all these things that we do benefit the world in profound ways. Accepting our daily activities, our daily tasks, miseries and joys at the same time, all these things give glory to God and bring graces to other people. Everything we do in speech or in action, St. Paul says, speaking of Christ. Thus we share in the priesthood and the prophecy of Jesus, preaching to others by our example, by our words, the things that we do are the things that we refrain from. We are kings, and that we can control our thoughts, we can control our words and our actions, making sure that every thought, every word, every deed always resonates with the Holy Spirit who lives and works in us and through us. You know, the church has taught us about the evil of scandal, and this is the thing that we do not want to give to lead others astray. Scandal is an attitude or a behavior that leads another person to do evil. They see us saying, well, this person goes to church, but yet they're doing this, that, or the other outside of the church, so it must not be that bad. Well, sometimes these things actually are. The person who gives scandal becomes the tempter to his neighbor. It's kind of a scary thought. It puts us in league with the devil, that if we're tempting others to sin, we're doing the same thing that Satan himself does. And doing that, we can damage the virtue and integrity of the faith and even draw other people into a spiritual death as we're going there ourselves. Scandal becomes a very, very serious offense if by deed or by a lack of a deed, another person is led to follow our bad example. You know, Jesus says that we are to do good to one another, to love one another, and to spur one another on into greater faith. St. Paul says that we're not to do anything that could discourage anybody else, but rather to speak all that is true, to encourage others, to lead them into grace, to lead them into faith. It's been said that sometimes the only Bible that other people are ever going to read is the story of our own lives, our own relationship with Christ as manifested in who we are. May we make it our prayer that we can always be free from sin, that God will give us the grace to show restraint, that as a priestly people, as a prophetic people, as a kingly people, we can show the kingdom of God reigning within us, that we are there with Christ always. He is always with us, we with him, as we remain blameless from innocent sin and lead all to the presence of the Almighty. Your word, O Lord, is truth. Consecrate us always in the truth.